Hello, everyone. Happy Sabbath. So that was the fastest announcements ever. I guess before I start, let's say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've brought us all here. I ask that you be with me as I speak about my own personal testimony, and I hope that that the people here today can be blessed hearing about all of the wonderful things you've done in my life and all the miraculous things you've done. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I guess the first verse that the main verse, the theme of my testimony is Jeremiah 29:13, if you want to turn there. Or it's also on the slides, but Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So, as many of you know, I am now a registered nurse, and I work in Loma Linda in the neurology and neurosurgery ICU, but I didn't always do this. And so I guess where I'll begin is people always ask me, why did you go into nursing? And or they say, oh, that's a really big change from studying political science and business economics at UCI to becoming a nurse. And it's sort of a long story, but hopefully not too long. it's funny because a lot of the movies and TV shows I watch, they are usually, the ones I enjoy most are the ones about a journey from one place to another. I was like the survival aspect of someone trying to struggle and fight their way from one place to get to this other place, or maybe it's not an actual literal place, but it's like, you know, a decision or like a state of mind. But I guess it's always most satisfying because at the end there's a conclusion and they've accomplished something. So I'd like to say that my story does have a conclusion, even though maybe it's not finished yet, but hopefully that this journey of spiritual growth can kind of inspire you guys to make your own journey if you're not sure yet. So if you want to turn to Jeremiah 29:11, or it's also on the slides, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." And that sort of summarizes kind of this journey. It's actually been, I think it began before I even knew it was beginning. So I would say that it actually started like 10 years ago. I just didn't know it yet. But so a brief timeline. In 2010 was when I actually graduated from undergraduate at UC Irvine. And I had been studying, I studied biology for a year, and then I decided I didn't like chemistry. So I switched my major and I started studying economics and political science. And so I never even thought of nursing, but by the time it actually occurred to me, it was already March 2010, which was like 3 months before graduation. So if any of you have actually been to college or are planning to go, once you kind of start something, it's hard to switch majors because there's a lot to, there's like prerequisites or there's requirements you need to graduate. And so it was 3 months before graduation and I was just like, it's too late. I'll just do what I'm going to do because I don't know. It would be a waste of my time and money to change my mind now. And so what happened was that summer in 2010, I ended up getting a job. And I was like, wow, this is a real blessing because all of my friends actually were not able to find jobs at the time because it was a really rough time, economically speaking, I would say. Like, I think they said it was the worst job availability for new graduates from college, like, ever in recent times. It was 2010. So I was like, wow, this is, like, a sign from God. I'm getting a full-time job, and I'm so lucky to have this. So I thought that maybe I was making the right choice by doing this and working. So I started working as an e-commerce merchandiser for a surfing and skate apparel company, which was O'Neill. And so I was working there. I actually ended up staying there for 3.5 years. But I never really felt fulfilled doing that. mostly what I did was doing analytics on the website and seeing what clothes were trending or what clothes would be best on sale at the time or what people like to wear. So it kind of felt like I wasn't doing anything with my life because I felt like I had a lot of unfulfilled potential. So fast forward, like 3.5 years later after doing this job, it was like in September. I had always thought like the whole 3.5 years, like, oh, maybe I could go back to school, but maybe not. I don't know. So I would look at prerequisites and kind of think about it, but then I didn't actually do anything. But then September 2013 was when I started to take the idea more seriously that maybe I should actually go back to school, but I was having serious doubts. And this is sort of where my journey begins, because I was very, very conflicted on what to do. It wasn't like I was like a, you know, like a Wall Street banker or, I don't know, like a lawyer with a practice. But, you know, like 3.5 years is kind of a lot of your life to like just like, oh, whatever, you know, start something new completely. So I was just really unsure at the time. And I remember that at that time I was asking everybody for their advice, but I wasn't sure if like what they were telling me was what I wanted to hear or not. And so I started to take my devotionals more seriously, and because I kind of felt like if there's anywhere that God's trying to lead me, I'll find out through like more prayer and more devotionals. So what I was actually doing was reading a lot of Psalms and Proverbs, because if you're going to look for advice in the Bible, who better to listen to than like the wisest man who ever lived, possibly? Solomon, because he wrote them. But anyways, so I remember someone recently, they had a message and they said you're not supposed to like flip through the Bible and find random verses and like see what they tell you, because that's not the best way to do it. But okay, so I did flip through the Bible and find a random verse. But as a disclaimer, know that the Bible's not like a magic eight ball. You don't shake it and then like a verse pops out and will tell you what you need to hear. But Psalms 143, verses 7 and 8, they kind of spoke to me at the time. It says, "Answer me speedily, O Lord. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause in me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you." And it was just, like, really inspiring to read this and to think that 6,000 years ago, I said Solomon wrote this, but it was David, David had the same thought that, I don't know, it just spoke to me. 6,000 years ago, somebody had this same exact feeling, like, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Just asking God to tell them what to do. And so I ended up taking the leap and actually quitting my job. And then 2 weeks later, I started school at La Sierra. And then I guess the first amazing thing that happened was that it turned out they accepted a lot of the old classes that I had taken my first year at UCI doing biology. And they said, oh, yeah, well, you know, 7 years is the expiration date of the classes. And it happened to be 7 years ago. Wow. So I was like, well, that's kind of a miracle that they're actually accepting classes I needed, like biology or, I don't know, some chemistry classes. And then actually when I started school, I was kind of worried about money, because going back to school from working full time is pretty tough. I don't know if any of you have ever done that, working full-time and making money and not having any bills and going back to school. You're actually not making any money at all, but you're owing money. So that was kind of stressful. But when I started at La Sierra, it turns out that they actually give a lot of scholarships for those of you that have gone there. They give you scholarships for like being SDA, for being part of like the conference or getting good grades. And so, I mean, it wasn't enough to like, you know, pay for everything, but it helped a little. So everything was looking good, and I was preparing to do applications. It was like October of that same year, and then they were like, oh, you need letters of recommendation from professors by like the second week of October. And I had just started school, and it was like 1 week into school, and I was like, who am I going to get a letter of recommendation from? Like, nobody from UCI remembers me. And I've only known these teachers like a week. And so I was really stressed out about that. And then I ended up actually asking two of my professors, like, 2 weeks into school. And if any of you have ever needed a letter of recommendation, you don't ask them and say, can you write this in 2 weeks? Because it's kind of rude. And, like, you know, people have lives, they're busy, and they don't even know you. So I actually asked them, and by God's grace, they actually wrote them and got them in on time that I could submit them to Loma Linda and for my application. And so school continued, and I was taking 20 units in 5 classes, and it was like my first time back to school after like 4 years off. Well, 3 years off, I guess. So it was, I was studying a lot, and I was just working really hard, but I don't think that I could have done it alone. Like, I've never gotten a 4.0 ever. And so I actually ended up getting a 4.0 that quarter, which was, like, essential to getting into Loma Linda because those were really the only grades they were going to be looking at. And it was just like, wow, I can't believe it. That's, like, the first time in my life I've ever gotten a 4.0. And I was taking, like, a bunch of classes. And it had been, like, a long break from school. And so I finished my application, and then they ended up calling me, and then I interviewed, and they're like, okay, well, your acceptance would be contingent on how you do the next quarter, so you have to get another 4.0. I was like, uh-oh. So I interviewed, and then I think maybe like the following year, it was like February, they called me, and they were like, oh, you got accepted. Yay. So that was great, but they're like, you have to get 4.0 again, and then you'll be like in the school. And so for the second time in my life, and only time, I got a 4.0 again, and that was it, but it was enough. So I started school, and in that March of 2014. And so in Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And believe me, I have never prayed for anything harder than to get into nursing school, because I didn't want to have to wait. Like, if I didn't get in spring quarter, I would have had to wait 3 months and then apply and then wait another 3 months for summer. And it would have just been like 6 months of like me just waiting, which I really didn't want in terms of downtime, because I kind of just wanted to get through school and get it done. And so I went through school, and things were good. It was hard. I studied a lot again, and I know my brother and sister and Jessica, they know that like every week before a big test, I would text them and be like, pray for me, I have a test, like every week. Like, this is the most important test of my career. You gotta like pray for me. I need to pass. And then I would always read Proverbs 3:5, which is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that just really kind of helped me to get through school and pass my classes. So fast forward some more. I've been in school for a while, and then the following summer, it was like 2015, there was like a big opportunity. They had a job, like they had a student internship at Glendale Adventist Hospital, and I was like, this is a really big blessing. If I get this job, it's to be like a nursing assistant. I get this job, make some friends, and then I'll be able to get like a full-time job after school ends, because I was going to be done soon. And it was like, it seemed like it was meant to be. And so I remember I called them, and they really liked me on the phone interview, and things looked good. So I had the in-person interview, and I went in, and I did it, and I totally bombed it. It was like the worst interview I've ever had. I'm not very good at interviews, but it was like pretty bad. And I remember I called my brother afterwards, and I was like, I actually said, I can't even remember what I said, but I said something that was just like really awkward. And he was like, wow, you said that? Like, and I was like, yeah, it was pretty bad. I was like, I'm not going to get it. And I didn't get it, and I was really disappointed. And it was just, like, the first big setback that I had faced in this whole, like, journey, I guess, that I was like, what happened? Like, I should have got this. I could have got a job in Glendale. I could move back home, live at home, and, like, save money, pay off my loans. And so I was really bummed out. And that was in the summer of 2015. So the following summer, like school year in fall, I went back to school. And then it turned out that actually there was a program that they were starting up again. They had done it like 3 or 4 years prior, but they discontinued the program at the School of Nursing. And then they restarted it that quarter, and it was to be like a student nurse, like nursing assistant, called a SNAP, which is a student nurse assistive personnel, which is what Hung is now and Josh Bowie. And basically you get to work in the hospital, you make your own hours, you work wherever you want, which is, I actually wanted to work in like the ICUs, so you can kind of network, get to know people. And then it was pretty competitive because they had just started the program, and you also get to earn, for all the hours you work, you earn units towards your tuition. So actually this job was even better than the one over the summer, and it fit better. It was in Loma Linda, and, you know, I could, like, make friends with people in ICUs who could eventually help me to get hired. And there's no way that I could have gotten this job if I didn't know Allison Ong. So she kind of helped to start the program at work, and then she's like, hey, Sarah, you should apply for this. This is a really good opportunity. And I think that, I don't know, I think that this was one of the things where God placed certain people in my life, but knowing her was like a blessing to help me to get this job. And so it was sort of like the stage was set for me to get it. And I ended up getting the job and working for like 3 months, making friends with a lot of the nurses who are the ones who actually interview you. Like sometimes they do like a peer interview. So I ended up getting to work in the different ICUs and making friends with people. And okay, so fast forward some more. February 2016, which is last February, I took my boards and I passed, and it was pretty great. And then I got my results back. So the timeline of me getting my results was I got them back March 1st, which was Monday. That Wednesday, I was able, because of the job that I had, I was able to meet with the director on Wednesday of 3 different ICU units. That Friday, they called me back to schedule an interview. The next Wednesday, I interviewed, and then the next Monday, I was hired. So that's like a 2-week turnaround. I don't know if any of you are familiar with like a hiring process, but usually they don't go that fast. You apply for a job, and you kind of wait, and then like they'll call you. Maybe the recruiter will call you, or somebody will, and they'll be like, okay, your application's being processed. Okay, you're going to have an interview, we'll call you back, or something, you know. And then if you do the phone interview, you'll get an in-person interview. You get the in-person interview, maybe like the director will meet you, or I don't know. You know, it's like a lengthy process. And so a 2-week turnaround is pretty fast, I would say, for getting a job. And this was like my ideal unit. It was my ideal shift because I wanted to work nights. And it was really like the best thing I could hope for. And I think had I gotten the other job, I probably wouldn't have applied for this job because I would have been like, oh, I don't need that because I'm already set at Glendale. And so it just really worked out. And it happened that it was right before spring break of last year. And so I was supposed to make the decision whether I should stay in school or try to look for a job. And so I could work at the same time because the student loans were really piling up. And so it was just that the timing was perfect. It couldn't have been any better. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 9, it says, "Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." And this just really speaks to me because it tells me that, like, time, it doesn't mean anything to somebody who created time. To me, it felt like perfect timing, but to God, it was just like, it was his time. It was the right time for God. And yeah, just to emphasize how great the timing was, actually, the people I should have graduated with, they graduated in June last year, and one of my classmates only got a job like last week, I think. So it's like, that's 9 months off where you're just like waiting to work. And for those of you that, you know, are in school or have bills to pay and stuff, that's a long time to be waiting to get a job and just kind of like be unemployed, applying to all kinds of jobs and not really getting hearing back. So Like I said, something I was thankful for was that I didn't have a lot of downtime in terms of schooling. Either I was in school, I was in summer school, or I even got to go to the GC and work and get a free trip with my sister. So, like, that was cool, going to Texas and seeing all of the Adventists from around the world. And then even now, after I got hired, I was still taking classes online, so I was able to kind of just continue my education and get my bachelor's through Loma Linda online while I was working, just kind of to, you know, start paying off my bills and stuff. So that was pretty, pretty great, I guess, in terms that I didn't have any time where I was just sitting around waiting. I guess, so my next point is in, it starts with Proverbs 13:4, and it says, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And this verse, it tells me, that's Proverbs 13:4, it tells me that when you're going through something like this, you ask God for guidance and you ask him to provide for you, but you don't sit on your butt and you wait for it to happen. It's kind of like you can't just ask God for things and not actually do anything about it without putting in any effort. He's not like a genie that you say, "Can you do this?" And then it's just going to happen like magic. And you have to make the first step in that journey, whatever it is, whether, like for me, it's going back to school, actually like doing it and going to school. But God was there with me every step to help me to get that, to get that degree, get into school, get a job. Or maybe if it's like you have someone that you want to come back to church, you can't just pray for them to come back to church without you actually trying, you know, like talking to them or inviting them or, you know, doing anything like that. Once you actually make that step, God is with you every step of the way. In Matthew 6:25-34, it says, I think you probably all know this verse pretty well. We use it a lot for our offering appeal. But it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And this is sort of just kind of reiterating my point that if you've ever been worried about actually like taking that leap and making that journey, don't worry, because God is going to be there and he's going to provide for you. And he's, if he cares about the birds of the air, he cares about you. And it's funny because I don't know if you guys ever hear someone say like, "Wow, that's really lucky," or "Wow, what a coincidence. I can't believe this happened." But I think that they say that because they actually don't realize that they're just really being blessed by God. I guess back to my story, going back to school full time was really difficult. Like I said, from working and then all of a sudden you're in school full time and unemployed, making student loans. And it happened that I didn't really apply for any scholarships when I was in school, but I didn't apply because I didn't think I would get them, which is probably a bad way to think about it. But I didn't apply for them and I didn't pray about it because I didn't expect to get anything because I never got them before at UCI. And so it so happened that while I was at Loma Linda, Loma Linda doesn't give as many scholarships as La Sierra. La Sierra is like giving out like candy, you know. But Loma Linda, actually, they don't give out any. And so, well, they do, but not like by default, I should say. And so it happened that actually at Loma Linda, I got like 4 different scholarships in 4 separate quarters that I didn't expect to get. It's kind of like they just put a letter in your mailbox and they say, "Oh, you got this scholarship." And I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool," because I didn't actually apply for anything. And then I also happened to get like Dean's List, which I've never gotten before. Also, like I said, not a great student at UCI. But so anyways, Like, it was just another thing that I never asked God to give me these scholarships, but he kind of thought of it for me, and I didn't expect it, but, you know, I was blessed, and I know I was talking to some of my classmates, like, wow, I can't believe I got this, I'm so lucky, but you know what, it's like, we were just so blessed that, blessed to get it. I mean, it didn't cover all the tuition, because it is Loma Linda, but it helped a little, so, And Deuteronomy 28:2, it says, "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." I don't know if people hear the literal voice of God. I'm sure that some people do. I don't think that I ever actually did. I didn't hear God saying, "Go to nursing school, go back, and I'll take care of it for you." But for me, I think I heard his voice through my devotions and prayer. I think that he speaks to different people in different ways. But I think that through my studies, I was able kind of to get some guidance in what I should do and where I should take my life. And I think that if there's ever a time when you don't know what your pathway should be, you won't know it unless you take the time to speak to God and to, in prayer or devotion, because you can listen to everyone around you. And actually, people I spoke to when I was thinking about nursing school were like, wow, really? I don't think you'd make a very good nurse at all. Or nursing's really hard. Do you think you can actually do that? Or is that what you want to do? And so had I listened to the people around me, you know, it would have been a different story. But I think that really the only way you can know what God wants you to do is that you have to talk to him. And I think that for me, it's not just this whole testimony. It's not about me getting a new career. It helps that nursing is very, it's like pretty sustainable. There's a lot of places to go with nursing, but it's not the point that I got a new career and I'm doing this now. It's that it's kind of my own way of witnessing, I would say, and my own way of spreading God's love. I'm not the type that goes up to strangers and like, have you heard about God? Or, you know, like, I don't think I could cold porter, because I can't just like go door to door and be like, talk about these books and stuff that I haven't read, or I don't know. And it's just kind of like, it's not, you know, people have different skills in different ways. And I think that this is how God was utilizing my skills and how he is now, that I can witness through what I do, through work. And it helps that, it's a new job and I like it a lot, but I like it so much better than what I did before. And it's funny because at work, I was talking to one of my coworkers and she's like, "Oh, you're Adventist?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, that's why you're so nice." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." Hopefully other people think that too. I don't know. But it's sort of like before I had a really large spiritual gap between what I did and working in like a secular environment of like surfing and skating culture to becoming a nurse in an Adventist hospital. It's very different. Like, my work parties at work used to be like tons of alcohol, everybody, like, I don't think I met a single person at my past work who actually went to church, or I don't know, they like weren't like active Christians or anything, and they were all kind of about the party life, and I didn't really fit in, I think. And so I feel like now where I am, it's a better fit for me, because like you go into like Loma Linda and there's like Bible verses on the wall. So I don't know, it's a better fit for me. And I think that that I have had a lot of spiritual growth in the last few years since I actually went back to school. I became a regular Sabbath school teacher in that time. I'm more involved in church activities, and I've been planning stuff. People ask me, I think David asked me to proofread Bible lessons. I got elected to the church board. I don't know how that happened. I don't know who voted for me. But, yeah, so that happened. I don't know. And I just remember, like, a long time ago, I think I was, like, 20 years old, I was talking to Jessica, and I remember I had this prayer that I wanted God to make me stronger in my faith and to bring me closer to him. But I just couldn't figure out how to close that that distance and to, like, fix that disconnect. And it didn't feel like God really had a place in my life at the time. But who would have known that it would have taken, like, well, I'm 28 now, so 8 years since then to get me to where I am today spiritually. But I think that even though there was no immediate answer to my prayer, there was an answer. And I think that if it had just happened, like, I prayed to be closer and then I was, it's not the same feeling of reward to know that something so deep, like a relationship with God, could be so easily achieved just by saying, I want a closer relationship, but not actually having, like, to do anything to get there. So if you take anything from my message, don't think it's an advertisement for Loma Linda, because I like Loma Linda and it works for me, but for everyone else, it could be something different. It might not be going back to school, because I don't think nursing is, like, for everyone, or Loma Linda, or whatever, you know. But there's something there that you're meant for, and you might not know what it is, and you don't know how you're going to get there, but God knows. Like I said, it took me from when I started UCI, and I took that first biology class that actually applied to my nursing degree. That was, like, 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, I had no idea I would be a nurse. It never even, like, occurred to me. And it's sort of like God has a plan. You just really don't know where it's going. But when you're ready for it and you ask him, he will hear you. In 1 John 5:14-15, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him." So it's just saying that, you know, that's what we have with God. If you ask him and it's, you know, it's his will, he's going to hear you and he's going to answer you. We always talk about in Sabbath school, like, when was the moment you knew you were a Christian and stuff? I never had, like, this aha moment, like, oh, I'm a Christian, you know. But I think that from where I was spiritually and where I am now, it's like miles apart and it's so different. I mean, I'm speaking in front of you guys, which I never expected to do. So I think that, I guess, in conclusion, when you hear that voice and you think you're hearing God speaking to you and you don't know what to do, you just need to really kind of read your Bible, do devotionals, and pray on it. Don't just ask people around you, because they might not know your heart and they might not know you. And just focus on God and what you think it is that he wants for you, and it can give you the answers to questions that no one else can answer, not even yourself, because it worked for me. So, thanks.